The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Welcome to The Push. I am Dwayne, a.k.a. The Libra Icon. I am joined by my host, Shaolin Shogun MA. What's going on, Sean?
Good to be here, man. Ready to chop it off about some bullshit today.
Let's get into it. Mo, what's happening, my brother and chill?
Just got back from the PC. I had to refine my skills, so hopefully I'll be better on these parts.
I should have made you last because I would have given a good segue. But last but not least, the man who hears voices in his head, Benny, what's happening, man?
What's up, y'all? For some reason, I threw up peace signs even though I don't even have my video on. So, it's Friday. Let's get it.
We got random music. I like it. All right. So, based on Mo's comment, let's get into the news of today. Probably the biggest news. Vince McMahon threw a temper tantrum over some of the big guys not having the quote-unquote in-ring skills that he is wanting. And the wrestlers that were named were Otis, Dio Madden, a.k.a. Mace, I hate that name. Dabba Kato, I've seen him, but that's no surprise there. Exactly. Otis, which kind of was no surprise since he got basically relegated to mid-card status due to the fact that he lost money in the bank and he wasn't going to be a good one anyway. So, probably the most ridiculous and most shocking one of them all was Keith Lee as a Braun Strowman. But hey, whatever, Vince. I kind of was just surprised in Keith Lee. I mean, this man has been probably one of the top stars of 19 in NXT. I mean, he won the NXT title. Probably should have had a longer title reign even before coming up to the main roster. And I think that's probably part of the reason why he's getting relegated back to the PC anyways, but that, who made that call? None other than Vince, but hey, whatever. I just feel like that the other guys that were no surprise. I mean, like we said, we only seen Dabba Kato for a grand total of 1 hour on Raw Underground segments. We've seen Dio Madden kind of just go into, you know, evolve into this
ridiculous piece of shit.
Yes, thank you. I will take that as well. Known as Mace. Omos, who's just been in the suit for the last 6 weeks with AJ Styles, so we don't even know what he does.
Wait, they sent him to?
They sent him to.
Yep, he was on the list.
How is he on the list and he ain't done shit? Like, he's literally the wrong way. Like, literally,
he hasn't even wrestled yet.
Yeah, the only thing that he's done is stand. Like, so he's with AJ. He stands. He was Raw Underground. He just stood by the door, and the only action that I remember seeing him do, like, he may have walked gingerly when he was the big ninja to, you know, back up to Zara. Like, he don't, how can Vince be mad? Like, does anybody watch Main Event? Like, I doubt he's on Main Event wrestling.
I haven't watched Main Event in God knows how long. to be honest. I probably haven't watched main events since like 16.
So yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, let's just talk about every name on the list except for Keith Lee and Otis. All right, everybody on the list except for those two, you can make a case that they shouldn't be on the main roster in the first place. Like, we haven't even seen these guys perform in the ring in NXT. Now, one can make the argument that you didn't see a guy like Braun Strowman do much in NXT. Well, take what you know about Braun Strowman away now, because I think what's wrong with most wrestling fans these days is you typically do what Vince wants you to do. You know, Vince's little puppets out there. If Vince don't want you to believe something or remember something, then you throw it away. But we here at The Push are here to remind you that Braun Strowman sucked major ass when he came up to the main roster and was standing behind Bray Wyatt. It took a lot of work for him to get to where he is right now in the ring and in conditioning. But D.O. Madden, when did you see D.O. Madden on Wednesday nights? When did you see, man, fuck these other guys' names. Man, I don't know their names. Shit, I ain't never seen them.
Yeah, we never did see D.O. Madden. Like, he was just called up to do commentary on Raw. And the next thing you know, he didn't, I guess he wasn't feeling it. So Brock took him out with the F5 and he went back to the PC. The next thing you know, he's a part of Retribution.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with those guys getting sent back to the PC. One, because that's where they belong in the first place. Just like everybody else that's new to the game and on the come up. They don't belong on the main roster. Hell, you know, from what I've seen, like, I mean, if you got a big, tall guy, as much as Vince gets his nut off of big, tall guys or big, fat guys that he can put a shirt on, if you got to blow up at somebody that ain't been in the ring, then, bruh, look yourself in the mirror. Maybe you made a decision, a wrong decision. Yeah, Vince, you can be wrong from time to time. And from what we've seen in recent memory, Vince, you're wrong a lot of the time these days. So I think it was just purely wrong. If the rumors are true and he lashed out at these guys, it was just wrong, man. I wouldn't blame them guys for packing up shop and going down and going somewhere else, man. That's complete bullshit.
The classes are being taught by Drew Gulak and Adam Pearce. They're the ones who teach them. They got to go twice a week, I believe.
That's not too bad guys to learn from.
Right.
Personally, if you got a big guy, I would prefer a big guy to kind of teach him. You know, Adam Pearce and I'm not saying holistically instruct them, but you do need a big guy to kind of help them out. You know, Adam Pearce and Drew Gulak don't know how to move like a big guy in the ring. I don't know. I'll turn it over to you guys. I don't want to, you know, jump on D.O. Madden and Bible Key. I can't say nothing about him, man. I just think it's wrong. I mean, the whole thing is wrong, but I just wanted to highlight those individuals first, because you can't blame somebody for not being ready for the spot that you put them in. You should have prepared them in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, they've pushed enough people who weren't ready and didn't do this, some of them for almost 7 years now, but I'm not going to mention any names. So it's just,
yeah. Do they have the current title right now?
Like I said, no names. Rule number one, no names. But yeah, at least if I want to give Vince a little bit of credit, and I guess I don't really want to, but I guess if I can find a way to do so, I'll say at least he's admitting his mistake. You know, it's kind of like the team that drafts somebody in the first round, and then they just keep giving them playing time, even though they know they don't deserve it. They know they're terrible. You know, they know they need to go back down to the G League or whatever. But they just don't do it and just realize, hey, at least right now it's a sunk cost. So do what we can do to try to redeem this person for the future. Now, do I think any of the guys that they sent down will ever really become stars? No. But, you know, at least Vince is admitting his mistake, I guess.
See, I don't think it's Vince admitting his mistake. You know, if the rumors are true, I think it's all about approach. Now, I like the comparison that you made to, you know, NBA organization sending a player down to the G League, MLB sending them down to AAA ball or AA ball to work out some skills. I bet you Pat Riley ain't yelling at Duncan Robinson and digging in his shit. Like, is that an admission? Because is that if you're admitting it, you're admitting that you made a mistake. Are we really gonna sit up here and say that Vince is admitting that he made a mistake? Because from what it looks like to me, from what I've been reading, is that this is a Vince. He feels like that these guys aren't giving him what he expects and lashing out at them. But he was wrong.
No. I agree with that.
So, yeah.
I was just going to say, all right, YouTube edit time. But even Vince's best friend has used the words Biden administration on Twitter. So we may be actually getting to the point where megalomaniacs are coming to grips with reality. It could be happening.
Seriously doubt that.
I highly doubt that. Yeah, no. not with this. I mean, when you're already 1-52 in lawsuits and then you got this big one, I ain't going to work. I don't know. The delusion's worse than ever, if you ask me, but that's neither here nor there. I want to say that I can agree with the three guys that you mentioned, Sean, in regards to they probably shouldn't have been there in the first place and they really didn't get that. It's like Vince just saw them at the PC and was like, I want these guys on TV. That's just not how that should work. Because you have guys that are working their asses off and who probably don't even want to move up to the main roster. I mean, if you're in NXT, I mean, that's the best thing in WWE right now. I wouldn't want to leave either. So,
hell no.
The guys that are there right now, I don't blame them for probably not wanting to go because, you know, you kind of would get that what I would call Balor effect. You get lost in the sauce, you get stagnant, and you get bored. And the reason why I alluded to that is that's literally what happened to Finn Balor. I read an article about that. That was basically saying he got bored. He knew everybody's move. Creative wasn't being creative, which we've known for God knows how long. But I just think that I think the whole ridiculous kind of thing of it all to me was, aside from Keith Lee kind of being in question, was the fact that, you know, you have a guy who literally has stood like during his whole time on TV. It's like, we haven't seen anything from him. Like, I haven't seen any kind of clips or anything that shows like, hey, you know, is he as agile as he could be, or Gonzalez, and is he stiff as fuck? So, yeah, that's really where I'm at with it. I think that was just the fact that it could be an issue of owning your mistake, as well as, you know, hey, maybe these guys just ain't as good as you thought they would be.
I mean, if you watch the Keith Lee doc, you can see Vince. Vince was talking to him in the back, and I guess he was saying something about he wants to see greatness and things like that. So, you know, Vince has a thing about changing his mind and everything, and he gets bored quickly. So, with Keith Lee, I'm kind of surprised because we watch his matches and we're like amazed at the things that he does. And now Vince is like sending him back to the PC, like for what? The other guys, we can all just say, well, yeah, they probably can go back for more season because we really don't know them like that.
Yeah, well, you can throw Especially Otis Dobbins. In there too.
Yeah, I mean, Otis had a nice little run down there in NXT with Tucker, but now they broke him up and it's like,
wow,
dude.
It's just the latest of a long line of tag teams that you break up for no reason. Why did you break up Heavy Machinery? Why did you break up
Manny the Iconics?
Sonya? Why did you break up the Iconics? Like, you break up people and you do nothing with them. And Keith Lee, let's just, you know, there's no debate about it. There is nothing, zero, anything wrong with Keith Lee and his performances. Nothing. So to have a conversation that you're not happy with his performance and what he's doing in the ring, and he needs to go back to the PC and work, do what the fuck ever, is complete bullshit. And it's, I mean, WWE to me right now, outside of the NXT brand, stands for bullshit. It's the reason why I'm losing interest in it. Because, you know, I don't know, guys. It's just, when I saw the news, first thing I thought in my head, this is some bullshit. But then I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised one bit. Because it's Vince. You know, it's right. Vince. It's probably his lackey, Bruce Pritchard, you know, kissing his ass and saying, yeah, Vince, you're right. You know, he does need some seasoning. Like, man, it's just so much wrong. And this just illustrates
it. Well, it's funny you actually bring up the whole Bruce Pritchard thing, because I also did see earlier about how he's actually getting a whole lot of heat on Raw because of the whole situation with Orton and The Fiend. And if you guys heard anything about that, but what would be your take on that?
I didn't hear anything specific about Orton and The Fiend. I just heard that the main roster is frustrated with Bruce Pritchard, period, on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him, because everybody that would stand up to Vince and tell him something that he wouldn't want to hear is gone. You know, Paul Heyman is just doing his thing with Roman, but Paul can, you know, do what he wants to do because he has Roman, and Roman can kind of, you know, when you got that top spot, you can pretty much call your own card with Vince. But everybody else, they got to fall in line. They got to read the script. And, you know, I don't blame him. There is zero creativity in WWE. You know, anybody who could have had an impact, pun intended, is gone. You know, the best thing you could have did was left Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff in charge of those brands and step the hell away, bro. Like, just leave, man. Just count your millions in Connecticut and sit back and make the paper, man. Because he ain't got it, man. It's, I don't know, bro. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, ever since Bruce came back to the company on a full-time basis, like you've just been reading reports that he's been on a power trip, so to speak. And I respect Bruce for what he does for creative and everything. It's just, you know, it's just like time to look at the time of the it's times are changing in wrestling, so we gotta come up with some new ideas, so to speak, to get your people over. And basically, he's just, you know, he's stuck in the same rut with the same superstars being pushed and everything. It's like they're not making any new stars, and that's been that way for a long time. And we're just trying, you know, we're just trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. And we sit here watching, and we're just, you know, we're watching the product, and we're just like, okay, you know, this is what's going on, you know. And it's like they don't listen to, like, they don't listen to feedback. It's like, you know, it could be things that could be done differently, or, you know, let the talent get more, let them get more loose on the storylines. Let them be more creative when coming up with things and everything. You know, we don't want to keep seeing the same things over and over again.
That's why AEW is coming for that ass. You know, keep on fucking up, then, like, the real battle is not on Wednesday nights. It's when that show on TNT starts inching closer and closer to where Raw is. Then you're going to have a real problem. Like, it's going to take Tony Khan digging in that ass like Eric Bischoff back in the day did for Vince to finally hand it over or think differently. Because right now he's just coasting. Like, look, yo, why he need to change? In the middle of a pandemic, this man fires all these people while the nation is struggling, and he makes the most money he's ever made before.
Right.
Sickening, man.
Fucking. Yeah, and it kind of just alludes to the fact that I seen Leo Rush on the dang challenge last night.
You saw what?
Leo Rush on MTV's The Challenge last night on Double Agent.
First of all, that show is still on?
Season 36.
Show still on.
What the hell? Season 36.
Yep.
do they still even have real world people to put on?
Oh,
the
they got real. They got real world. Well, they got real world people, road rules people, big.
Don't you say that? Don't you say that? They don't got no road rules people on there. Road rules, man.
That's what the original challenge
there's
was.
There's some road rules.
I know. But hey, man, look, these motherfuckers got it. They older than us.
God, I know, right?
Oh boy. Okay, now. Okay.
That was the original challenge right there.
I know it is.
Exactly.
You know, all of us were a little bit younger, you know, about 20 years younger. Yes. when that came on.
It's 2020.
And Leroy Rush doing that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, he got to do something.
Hey, you're right. You know,
he did. That's exactly what he said.
Hey, well,
look. Ain't he going to be wrestling New Japan or something like that?
Hey, all power to him, but. You know, black people on the real world road rules challenge are like black people in horror movies.
Or black people in Big Brother. They don't survive.
Don't really last that long. But good luck to the man. But yeah, Mo, he's supposed to be.
Wait. Man. And he's a rookie too, so you know he's going to get plucked off early.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah. Damn, they still do the rookie stuff too.
This season is the double ages, but
well, hey,
they got rookies on there.
I don't want anybody to take my shock and amazement that this thing is still on MTV as that has piqued my interest and I'm gonna watch it. So if you're listening to this and that's what you think otherwise. I ain't watching this.
Oh no, no. I know this is like what the fuck.
Like, no. I ain't watching that.
You said he ain't watching that, boy.
I don't think I've turned to MTV in like a year.
Guess what? I'm watching the bullshit. And go I don't ahead. Give a fuck what y'all think.
Hey, have it, man. I ain't turned to MTV.
Enjoy since, yourself, brother.
What's my man?
Know, guess what? I'm going. I already know. You ain't got to tell me.
I ain't turned to MTV since Max left, so I'm good. And is that his name, right? That's his name.
That is his name.
Okay. Yeah. Shit. Been a long fucking year, man. Been a long fucking year. Hey, man. Can we switch it up a little bit? Because I'm tired of talking about Vince, man. Fuck him. Look, can we switch to talk about AEW a little bit? So,
all right, since I can't slander Tony Schiavone, I'm out.
That's just a damn shame. You hate that much on the voice of our childhood. Anyway,
shout out to the Yo Buck.
And that's where we're going. Let's be real. All right. So let's just call bullshit on everybody out there who didn't know that this was coming at some point. We knew Sting was coming to AEW. It's been out there for a minute. And, you know, Sting has been the Crow since 96, 97. They promote a Winter is Coming theme. If you have any thought, recollection, if you know anything about Game of Thrones, the Crows favor heavily into that Winter is Coming concept. So, I just don't think that it was that big of a shock that Sting showed up. But, you know, I will say that in that moment that Sting showed up, number one, it was better, hands down, than his WWE debut. And two, hell, it was better than any damn thing he did in WWE. I enjoyed it. I love the interest, the snow, the music. Fellas, I throw it to you. What are your thoughts about Sting appearing in AEW? And man, he better not wrestle.
It was a matter of time. He better not wrestle. And acted.
Apparently, he is supposed to wrestle. He's supposed to be signed to a multi-year deal full time. And it's like, what is he going to do? Because...
What
do you want to do, sir?
So the thing is, well, I don't know if I can go with you on his debut being better than his WWE debut. I think his WWE debut was by far the best thing that he did during his time in WWE. And just how it essentially changed the result of that Survivor Series match. I thought that was really, really well done. Now, that being said, as far as what he is doing now, I have to say, I was disappointed when he talked Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because he just sounded like a normal dude. And I'm sitting here like, if you're making it this big, huge thing, that he's going to talk on TNT for the first time in 20 years. I don't need him to sound like he's doing a sit-down interview with Oprah.
He got the ring and went straight fanboy. Like, Tony Schiavone! And I was like, whoa! You know what? That reminded me of Starrcade when he won the belt and then he immediately said some Spanish shit in the camera.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What was this? Yeah.
No, but remember when they remember on Thunder though. The first time he actually spoke in English.
Yeah.
He said what, less than 10 words? Mm-hmm. You got no guts and you're a dead man. That's all you need. But nah, by having him go out in there reciting the Gettysburg Address and whatnot, you have taken all the thunder out of him talking. So let's see. Wrestlers only really do two things. They talk and they wrestle. You've taken all the thunder out of him talking. There's only one thing left. And it's the one thing that none of us has said that we want to see him do.
See, I think the tone in his talking was all wrong. But yeah. I do think, when he came out and basically got in the face of everybody, you know, he got in the ring, went straight up to Arn, then he rolled around to everybody. Went to Cody, went to Dustin, went to Darby, you know, and that was a big pop moment for me because I'm like, oh, WCW Sting and AEW Sting. They finally meet. Great. and it was just a serious, you know, son, moment. Father. Yeah, it was like a father-son. You know, if they gotten any closer, I thought they would kiss on the cheek. You know, it was that close. I thought that would have been a great place to insert an authority figure in AEW. Like, I always thought that Sting's character is believable for an authority figure. You know, because he can be, you know, this dark presence over everybody. He can talk. And if you fuck with him, you know, he can either hit you with that bat or he can drop you real quick with a scorpion. But, yeah, man, if this all leads to him wrestling, I just don't see it. And him talking, if you notice, him talking in this big mystery around him talking and what is he going to say, it fell flat just like another person. Your new AEW world champion, Kenny Omega, as both of his interviews this week, the one on Impact and the one on Dynamite. Like, bruh, you just wasted my time. You just told me nothing. So, AEW ain't scoring too much points this in the last couple weeks in progressing storylines and characters by talking.
Yeah, they need to just let Callis do all the talking for Kenny. They really, really do. And Callis ain't that great.
Hey, man, you will not talk bad about the leader of the Truth Commission. We're going to respect the name of the Truth Commission on this here podcast.
Look, I can't have Tony Schiavone. At least give me this shit.
Damn. Just coming at everybody, girl. Can't nobody make you happy.
I mean, Tony Schiavone does not make me happy.
Just a hater. So as we move past...
I don't hate you, though.
Oh, shit.
My brother.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It's all love. So, as I touched on a little bit, let's kind of touch on this AEW Impact thing. First, fellas, give me your reactions to Kenny Omega being the new AEW world champion, and then give me your reaction to this partnership that's brewing between All Elite Wrestling and Impact Wrestling.
I'm not sure what AEW gets from this. I mean, because what, 15 people watch Impact a week? So it's not like they're expanding their reach at all. I mean, yeah, you do get to, you know, have some better match quality, especially if they take some of the knockouts, like Jordan Grace. But other than that, I don't really know what it does for AEW. Now, Impact, of course, on the other side of that, is playing with house money. You know, they're getting more views, you know, for those of us who know how to download Twitch, or for the 25 people who have access. But
shit, I was struggling.
Like, I had Twitch, and I was watching Impact until all that stuff about Tessa Blanchard came out. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not putting in the effort to watch this. Is Melissa Santos still doing this stuff on Twitch?
Shit, I don't know. Like I said,
I didn't know she was on there yet.
Look,
I don't be watching.
Like I told y'all, it was a struggle for me because I couldn't think of what Twitch was. Like, I was like, yo, is Twitch that thing that WWE was trying to push? Like, and I couldn't remember. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Thank you. I opened y'all to my struggle before TNA. I mean, before Impact came on, I was like, "Yo, am I trying to? What? I feel like I need Daniel Bryan to help me out. I don't know what I'm doing."
That's like the Because ain't Impact, like it'll change networks so many. It's like it changes drawers. Like, I think it's on Access TV now. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, doesn't Anthem Entertainment own Access?
I think they do.
So,
if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, because that's why New Japan got kicked off, is because Anthem was putting their own shit on Access.
Yeah,
but you're right, Dwayne. It's like, yo, you know who has it? I got YouTube TV. I ain't got Access, so
I don't either. I got YouTube TV as well, so.
and I'm not making no switch to see Impact Wrestling. It's just not
right. Like that's. Like, basically, it's like, you know, the top, and then AEW, then you have NWA, Major League Wrestling, Combat Zone Wrestling, any other wrestling promotion, Ring of Honor, I forgot to put that up there. And then all the way at the bottom of the barrel is Impact. Like, I don't think about it.
Dwayne, like, I think about WoW before I think about Impact.
Exactly. I stopped caring about it, I guess, back in, I think when Hogan joined, that's when I stopped caring about it. Oh, man. And he'd been long gone in this.
Yeah, bro, that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And then when they had the Global Force thing, then that became Impact. I'm like, I can't get away from the shit. Now, I'm thinking what's going to happen now, are we going to eventually take over Impact? I see Tony Khan just going to Anthem, be like, look, let me just take this off your hands. And then we can make a second show.
I mean, yeah, they have been talking about a second AEW show, and they did say it wouldn't necessarily be on TV.
There you go. It would not surprise me. You know, I mean, the cons are loaded. I mean, they got the Jaguars, they got Fulham, they got a whole lot of other shit. So, hey, I won't be surprised if we see in the next 2-3 years, AEW buys Impact.
What you got for us, Ben? I mean, Mo.
So the way Moxley won it, I mean, damn, Omega won. I guess it was this whole, the cleaner character supposed to be back on the TV screens. And, you know, I mean, I liked how it all played out. It was like they run into the back and then Alex Marvez just pops out of nowhere asking what's going on. He's like, you'll find out on Tuesday. And then, you know, they was like, oh, Dynamite's on Wednesday and Kenny was on Impact. But the thing was, they recorded that like that Saturday. So that was like our tape. That whole interview was taped and everything. If AEW can basically, I guess work with the other companies just to, I guess, bring more talent to the light, then I guess it's fine or whatever. But I don't know what's the play here. Are we going to have AEW versus Impact talent? You know, we're going to be having talent showing up on other shows. I mean, we really don't know. And it's kind of this kind of led to like discussions about, well, will other companies work with other companies? And that's when you saw Triple H said, you know, we're open for working with other companies as long as we know what's the end result going to be for us and everything.
Which is true. And I wanted to say, you know, I want to call everybody bullshit that dug into Triple H on that comment. Like, don't confuse Triple H with Vince McMahon. Like, those are two totally different people. Yeah, Vince McMahon likes to take over people, but Triple H actually does work with people. You know, Triple H worked with Evolve, Progress, other, you know, most of them international promotions, but Like, if Vince said that, I would call bullshit. But Triple H, he's more open. Now, would Triple H work with Impact and AEW while Vince McMahon is still alive? No. But yeah, I do think it's good for the business. Like, one of the things that, you know, that's out there is that, you know, I've heard that question from a lot of people. Like, what does AEW get out of it? I think at most AEW gets the chance to have other talent on their television show. If it comes to that, if that's part of the deal. And like most
better said, women.
We don't know. We don't really know the parameters of the deal. And that's fine. But what I like about it is just the openness to work with other promotions. Like, my initial reaction to the whole thing is that this is very old school. This is very, you know, territorial days type.
The days before 1982.
Yeah. You know, and if AEW working with other promotions, we've already seen it with NWA, and I think they'll probably do it like they do with NWA. You know, they won't have everybody come on the show, but they'll have a few talent that crosses over. Then, you know, hate that the pandemic happened, but, you know, NWA wrestlers getting exposure on AEW television, you know, that's good for those performers individually, and that's good for the NWA. Same could be said about Impact. Maybe some Impact performers working on AEW and AEW stars going to Impact put some more eyeballs on to Impact Wrestling. That helps the business. You know, maybe down the line, they work with MLW. But shit, like, I would love to see that, especially some of their tag team wrestlers go up against not the Bambis, fuck the Bambis, but everybody else. For those who don't know, that's my new name for the Young Bucks, because fuck them too. But I think it's great. Y'all get it, Bucks, beer.
Shout out to the Young Bucks.
Say what? What you say?
Shout out to the Young Bucks.
Hey, look here, man. You're not gonna shout these fools off just because they kicked Tony Schiavone, man. That's just rude.
My header is legendary.
That's the only reason why you're doing that, and I call bullshit. You're doing that to troll me.
I would never do such a thing. I can't say that was a straight face.
Yeah, this is an inside joke, so listeners probably won't get what I'm about to say, but Benny and Mo will. You know, Dwayne. Gwen Stefani came out with a new song today. Oh,
goodness. I'm going to mute myself and scream at the moment. So
I hate you. I control it.
I hate you.
All right. So before we get out of here, and go to our last topic, which we'll touch on some things about The Undertaker. I just want to throw it out to you guys. We're going to switch it back over to WWE real quick and get your thoughts on the rumored WrestleMania top matches. Have y'all heard about those?
Honestly, I read about them. And so I read about them, and then I saw another report saying that those reports aren't true. Vince, they said Vince hasn't even come up with Royal Rumble plans for 2021. So
that might be true, because we don't have a date. We still don't know when the Royal Rumble's
happening. Maybe we don't have a date, because all we know is TLC is next, and now we're just waiting.
Yeah. So, but if it is true,
it'll be real interesting to have Keith Lee. After we already read, we read about Keith Lee, have him in a match like that for the title. But now, and then Roman, he's talking about, they talking about him and Bill Goldberg, and they traded shots on, well,
Bill Goldberg was on the bump, and he was talking about his documentary that's going to be on the WWE Network, talking about the streak and everything. And then he said he's coming for Roman, and Roman had responded kind of like, you know, I don't wait in line and some shit like that. And he said the next person up is Kevin Owens. So
does WWE realize that, and I'm not about to make this statement, I'm not calling for more Goldberg matches. This is not what I'm doing. But if you want to use Goldberg, does WWE even know that you don't use Goldberg by bringing him into a big spot just to lose? It makes no sense. Like,
nothing in WWE makes sense now, dude.
It's like, God, it's like you bring him in, you have him kill the Fiend for no reason, just for him to turn around. And he was supposed to lose to Roman, but then the pandemic hit. So, no, he drops it to Braun. So, that's what you're doing to Bill Goldberg. The guy that, like Mo said, you're about to have a network documentary about his 173 winning streak. Like, make it make sense for me.
Oscar's streak is greater.
Oscar's streak is an accurate number.
Exactly.
Listen, if you go back and watch some, I saw some old YouTube like shoot videos about some of those matches Goldberg had, and then I would go back and watch them, and you would see how they show how reckless he was in the ring. Yeah, so it's like
this green as goose shit.
Everything in WCW was reckless as shit.
Like they throw him out there knowing that he could only do three moves. Like, I would encourage everybody to go to the WWE Network. All you have to do is search Goldberg versus Steven Regal. Watch that match. It's bad. But up until that match, the only matches that he had on Nitro were, hey, we all know how Goldberg matches go. Like, it's 2 minutes, you know? He does a move, does another move, spear, jackhammer, it's over. He got in there with Steven Regal. They said have a 7-minute match. Whew.
And then the bell rang.
Whew, yeah, there you go. So yeah, man, but yeah, that's the one thing that stuck out to me. I like you find it interesting that I call bullshit that that's not what Vince is thinking. The rumored matches that I see, that sounds like Vince McMahon. I'm sorry. Like, looking at the card, yeah, that sounds like what he would do. But yeah, I'll just say you lucky that shit won't be in front of a crowd or a big crowd. Because you know they're down there in COVID. Florida, so they're going to have some people in the building at WrestleMania. But, hey, if you're out there at WrestleMania, you deserve to see Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. Enjoy that shit.
Well, y'all know I wasn't going to miss a chance to talk about old boy.
Oh, dude, I'm ready for it.
So the sense that I think that can be made of all this is that Vince wants Curly Sue to be the greatest wrestler of all time.
I thought that was John Cena.
In order for that to happen, they think that he's got to run through every legend imaginable. And that will help the cause. So he's beaten Taker. He's beaten Cena. Now they're going to try to run Goldberg up against him. I read something earlier today that his cousin is open to the idea of something in 2022. So they're just setting up all the pins. So he can knock them all down. I'm just happy that a certain rattlesnake will not be involved in this.
Oh, because he'd take that ball and go home.
Right.
He would flip the whole script.
He was like, hell no, you ain't doing that shit to me. But then here's the problem. And Benny, I think you're 100% right. They're trying to, you know, stack the deck and have him beat everybody. But when you compare that to other top guys who have beaten all the guys, like all those other past top guys beat those other top guys while they were in their prime. So what? Roman beat like a 50-something-year-old Undertaker. So what? He beat a blowed-up, gray-haired Goldberg. Like, he could come back 2 weeks from now and beat perm John Cena. I don't give a fuck. Like, that shit not impressive. Like, John Cena was just running around in his shorts and tights and costumes in the Firefly Funhouse, getting beat in an iron match.
And we haven't seen him since.
You know? Like, so, yeah, Benny, I 100% agree. But then again, it just brings back a point that we stress over and over again about how out of touch that this team is. It's like, that's not how you build a star. It's not impressive. You can. I'll tell y'all a funny story. Y'all know how much I hate the Silverdome. These motherfuckers had the nerve to send me a survey.
Oh, jeez.
But then you know what pissed me off about the survey? Because I was gonna dig in on that shit. You know, because it got me because it said, okay, it invited me to take a short survey about my Thunderdome experience. So I was like, okay, short survey. So y'all already know my mistake there, right? Because anytime that you click on something that says it's gonna be short, it's never short.
Ever.
So I'm filling this shit out. I done filled out like 6 pages. That damn completion bar ain't moved up to a third yet. And I'm sitting up here like, man, I'm like, fuck this. Y'all not gonna listen to me. Batista wave. Y'all not gonna listen to me anyway. And plus, you lying to me like you do every single fan. Every time that you get up on that TV and say that we're giving you what you want. No, bitch, you're not. And you running Roman Reigns up against these AARP eligible wrestlers ain't gonna make us like him or ain't gonna make him the top guy.
Remember, you have to cheer for Roman according to the Thunderdome or Silverdome.
Hey, look, the only experience that was right about the Silverdome is when they told me to show fear to Lars Sullivan because I fear him. Don't want to get him behind me.
Why he not going back to the PC?
Hey man, because Triple H.
Hey, that's a very good question.
Hey, Triple H don't want that one. Y'all know Triple H. He about that like get that butt fuck away from me, literally.
Did you really have to revert to him that way?
I mean, a spade is a spade, so hey. I mean, I don't see.
Yo, so to close off talking about WrestleMania, give me your reaction to this possible dream WrestleMania match. Would you want to see this? Y'all ready?
This is probably going to be a no, but go ahead.
Come on, man. Have a little faith in me. I know I just fucked up how that song go, but yeah.
You did, but go ahead.
All right. Lars Sullivan versus Hayden Wright.
I'm hanging up. Y'all have a good night.
Enjoy your night.
Yo. Come on, man. Y'all ain't feeling that?
No.
All right, man, I'll leave
it. What is it? Brokeback Mountain on a pole match? What?
Only if Vince Russo was booking that shit. Something would be on the pole. What's that magazine that Shawn Michaels was in back in the day?
Playgirl.
Playgirl mag. Playgirl subscription on a pole match. There you go. All right. So we're going to close this off. We're going to get together one more time before the clock turns to 2021. And we ain't giving no awards. We ain't going to give no awards out. But we're going to sit up. We're going to sit around and we're going to chop it up about the best and the worst of 2020 in professional wrestling. So I feel like with this crew of guys that we have, you're going to get a little bit of good and a whole lot of shit. Let's be real.
You ain't lying.
There's been a whole lot of shit, but shout out to that ceiling fan.
There's been great years in professional wrestling. And trust me, this has nothing to do with the pandemic. It just wasn't one of those years that we had got some good shit. So until then, this is the Push Crew. We'll see you next time. Peace.